as barbers, we're not just, we don't just work with hair. Obviously, we work with skin as well, and shaving is a massive factor of that. When you give someone a shave and everything's gone well, and you haven't, you know, cut them up
still
or
slit
their throat, or
I love,
you know,
it when I'm in, they're all under the towers. This kind of tranquility
calm
and
it's
calm.
Nice. Barbara, you don't have that. It's like free for all. You know, everybody, as I say, does what they want when they want and cuts how they want and treats people how they want.
Which is the kind of centre of a creative industry.
Absolutely.
You can't make it too rigid or you lose that creativity and you
Absolutely.
Become a bit too homogenous, high street, you know, tedium.
Yeah, so you really have to hone in and grab everybody's strengths. You know, some people might be better at fading, some people might be better at long hair, some people might be better at shaving, you know, and it's about grabbing everybody's strengths and then working together as a team. And that's why people love going into barbershops, because it's such a relaxed atmosphere. And if you've got that team that all work well together, and, you know, everyone's feeling good, every barber...
You're making it sound great. No, you really are. So I want to put a team together. It just sounds like the most fun. There's a reality in that, and that's why we wanted to stay honest with it. Welcome to The Noble Barber. This is a podcast for barbers, by barbers, cutting through the crap of the industry. We all want to know how our businesses can run better. I want to talk to people who've done it, messed it up, and got it right second time round, and can tell us the way that you and I can make our businesses better. Welcome. This is our podcast, which is The Noble Barber. Having listened to a lot of our industry experts over the years, sat through a lot of talks, listened to a lot of podcasts, everyone says the right thing, but I don't ever feel it relates to me. So the idea is I'm meeting our experts, I'm bringing people in, and we're just staying honest. And if we can't get it right, we'll talk it through until we see if we can get an opportunity. Today, my guest is Grace. Grace has been working with us for the last 4 years. Joined us as a barber and now essentially runs the company. So we're going to have a chat about your journey. Morning, Grace. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me here. Excited to be here, excited to talk through things, as you just said, and be real and be honest. I don't think people are honest enough in this industry. I think there's a lot of people trying to be certain ways, say certain things, not offend, you know.
Yeah,
do everything by the book. But that's not what we're here to do. We're here to break the rules and, yeah, say what we really think and feel.
But you joined us then 4 years ago. So you joined us, wow, just on the cusp of the beginning of COVID, mm-hmm. when it all went very odd.
3 weeks before. I met you, worked for you for 3 weeks, and then boom, COVID.
Yeah, so let's
COVID
talk about
hit.
That a little bit. How did, 'cause we did 3 weeks, huge shutdown, and then by the time, within 18 months, we were opening a second store that was essentially all lots of your personality all over it.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a tough time for everybody. We didn't expect it. Really had to just deal with every day as it came along. Obviously, you know, all the shops shut down. I just started working with you, obviously starting with you, not really knowing you that well and not knowing the team. There was a lot of Friday night quiz Zoom events.
Oh, yeah, man,
events
Zoom nights.
And, It was a nerve-wracking time, you know, meeting people that you hadn't met before. I'm sure there's lots of people in that position as well.
But did that work? Did we manage to make you feel part of this team of people you've
absolutely.
Never really met?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think it's one of those things. There was a lot of character building in the sense that, you know, I had to put myself on Zoom with people that I don't know.
You know,
everyone was a little bit shy, a little bit sheepish. But you just got to kind of roll with it, do what you can, be yourself, and gain trust of people that you've not met, you know, like yourself and everyone else that works in the company. So the more you put yourself out there, the more you're going to get back from it. So it's just got to do it.
And so before 3 weeks of working with me, prior to that, you were quite new to the industry. You joined and trained only kind of 3 or 4 years earlier than that.
Yeah, so I trained from the very beginning, like from the very bottom, sorry. You know, sweeping the floor, learning
proper
how the
old school apprenticeship.
Absolutely, yeah, literally, like the runner, you know, getting people what they need, as I say, sweeping the floor, cleaning, just observing how the shop runs, how people work. And then, you know, as I got more confident, the barbers in the shop started training me here and there. So there's a lot of watching, a lot of trying to engage with what everybody's doing. And then, you know, it was a case of, right, well, this is up to me. I want to become a barber, and I want to become a barber like as soon as possible, but still, you know, ready when I'm ready. So it was a case of going out, standing outside a shop on a high street, going up to people, excuse me, would you like a free haircut? You know, and again, it was people having to then put their trust in you, and it was all about how you came across and how you kind of sold yourself. And that, again, was very nerve-wracking. I'm sure lots of barbers have been in that situation as well.
Yeah.
You've really got to throw yourself at it. If you want it that much, you've just got to throw yourself at it. And, it's not a nice thing having to keep approaching people all day long. You know, a lot of people say no. It can be a little bit soul-destroying. Mm. You know, you're getting told no quite a lot. But again, on the flip side of that, you do get people who say yes, who put their trust in you, and which is an awesome feeling. So, yeah, once you've done that haircut and you've used all
the
bits,
that's really the bit when you are starting to cut someone's hair
that's
and you see
confidence.
How good they are.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
And it does. You can see their self-esteem, their confidence in you. It's a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah. So then I eventually qualified, worked where I was working for a couple more years, and then it was like, right, now I want to progress and, you know, find a new role and a new shop and progress up to manager and, you know, start making
those
moves.
So you met us as Van London. Mm-hmm. We then had the shutdown. For first shutdown was like, what, 3 months? We came back for a month or two, and then there was another month shutdown by Christmas, and then the big 4 month shutdown until April the 12th or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, during that time, we built another shop. We took over another premises. And so you went from within 8 years of opening our shop, working in our shop for 3 weeks, to then opening a shop, second shop, putting a team together. I mean, are you meeting barbers and hairdressers that have gone through your apprentice style, or are you meeting them from very different approaches now?
Lots of different approaches. You know, there's so many different ways you can get into barbering. You can go to college and you can study for 3 months to up to 3 years. Obviously, you can put in, you know, learn women's hair as well. It depends if you want to just do barbering. There's shorter courses. People, you know, start from the bottom, sweeping the hair like I did, and then do an apprenticeship, work their way up. Some people teach themselves on YouTube and come in and say, you know, I've been barbering for however long, and you know, you can tell when someone's done. You know, did a
bit of colleges are getting, you know, consistently that they're not producing, you know, qualified people. You know, when you've met them that have come from a college, they've paid for a course. Sometimes they've been thinking they are qualified and they're coming in for a trade test with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see they really believe that they are good. You know, that must be a difficult thing for you to explain that they've got a way to go and that there's more to just following a YouTube video.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things with barbering. You learn to become a barber, and then it's not until you qualify then you really learn to become a barber, and there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I've experienced it where, yes, I've had that situation where I've had barbers come in, you know, I've just qualified, I feel confident, I feel ready to go, and then they've, you know, they've done the haircut, and you can tell that they still have a long way to go, but it's a case of how you approach them, how you know, what you say to them. You say, you know, they're producing good haircuts, but haircuts are there's so much fine tuning in it. You know, you can do a haircut, but then it's all the bits, you know, after that make the haircut great. Yeah. You know, you can have a good haircut, but you've got to make it great. And a lot of people will take that on board and be really eager to learn and grow, and you know, constructive criticism can go a long way. Or people take it, you know, a different way, and they don't like what you're saying, and you know, it kind of can go that direction.
Yeah.
So it's each individual. But the thing is with barbering is such a creative space, and you know, everybody's so unique, everybody cuts differently, everybody wants to create differently, everybody's got different visions, everybody, you know, has different techniques. And that's the great thing about barbering is if you've got that passion for it, you can create as you want, just as
well,
long
you
as
put your team know. Together there now. I mean, it's definitely your team. You know, you've recruited, you've brought them in and built them as a team across two shops. Challenges? Yeah. And they're all yeah, and but each have their own skill base. You know, you have certainly have people that are much stronger in this, much more passionate about that. You know, and they're all individually very talented, you know, great quality people. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
But building a team is very different than just employing
Absolutely.
A couple of barbers.
Because you have got such creative industry and you've got people, you know, it's like, I guess in a corporate job, you go in, there's a system, everybody has to abide by that system, there's rules, you know, it all flows one way. Yeah. Barbering, you don't have that. It's like free for all, you know, everybody, as I say, does what they want when they want and cuts how they want and treats people how they want.
Which is the kind of centre of a creative industry.
Absolutely.
You can't make it too rigid or you lose that creativity and you
Absolutely.
Become a bit too homogenous, high street, yeah. you know, tedium.
Yeah, so you really have to hone in and grab everybody's strengths. You know, some people might be better at fading. Some people might be better at long hair. Some people might be better at shaving, you know, and it's about grabbing everybody's strengths and then working together as a team. And that's really what makes a team. There's a lot of good energy when you bring that together. And then there's, you know, there's points that people are weaker at, you know, techniques that people aren't so confident at, and it's trying to hone in on those as well and, you know, getting them to do what they're uncomfortable with even more, so the strength just becomes bigger and stronger and a better place. And that's why people love going into barbershops, because it's such a relaxed atmosphere. And if you've got that team that all work well together, and you know, everyone's feeling good,
you're making it sound great. No, you really are. So I want to put a team together. It just sounds like the most fun. There's a reality in that, and that's why we wanted to stay honest with it. There is a reality that you're putting these new people together. They work together 8 mm-hmm. hours a day. There is some direction from you. Mm-hmm. There are rules. There's a kind of way the shop's got to function and operate and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
how, you know, you've made that move from I'm one of the employees with someone telling me what to do to being that person.
Mm.
And so obviously there's always going to be some difficulties from other staff members. I'm interested how you were feeling when you made that move and how you feel now from being, we're all together, I'm an employee too, to kind of being the boss.
It can be a tricky place to be, especially being friends with your colleagues and having, sometimes you have history, because most barbers kind of know each other. They've either worked together or, you know, you've bumped into each other every now and again. So sometimes there's been difficulties from personally where, you know, I've gone from being an employee to a manager and I'm now managing people that I've worked with before. Sometimes there can be a little bit of a hierarchy situation going on, a little bit of alpha energy going on, which, you know, obviously you can get anywhere. But it does come with its challenges, but you've always got to flip it and try and make it into a positive. You know, don't get me wrong, there's been times where I've gone home and I've wanted to rip my hair out, you know, and rip someone else's hair out as well. But, you know, as long as you're open and you're honest and you have honest conversations with each other.
I mean, that was a big one. You really did make that move to just being really straight and honest with them. You weren't trying to hide behind being a name badge or a position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've always maintained being Grace.
Yeah, that's it.
It's quite hard to be that honest though when you're telling people
it's hard
they're doing
to,
something wrong and to stay friends.
Absolutely. It's hard when you have a vision of how you really want the shop to be and the systems that you do want to have, because shops do need systems, barbershops do need systems. There does have to be a way that, you know, everybody needs to work and treat clients and things like that. And I guess it can come down to like your level of standard on how you want things to be.
Yeah.
My standard is quite high. So it's sometimes tough to get people to come up to your standard. You know, everybody's work ethic is different. Some people are much more willing to do more, and other people are not so willing to do more. You know, they're stuck in their ways, they work how they work, and that is the real challenge. I think is people are either going to join you or they're gonna go against you, and that's
you've also kind
tricky.
Of brought in that kind of external socializing. You've been really good. I've really enjoyed seeing that you've encouraged this kind of external kind of work social that I guess the corporate world would call a kind of team building exercise.
So cringe.
But you haven't, you know, you just made it, you know, whether it was going to the kind of quiz night and what you did with that was, you know, was really interesting. And, you know, the events that you've put together for all the team and really pull people together. But you've managed to do it without the kind of team building eye roll. Here we go. What are they going to make me do now?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely always get a bit of eye rolling, you know. Yeah, but it's as a, you've got to try and keep the fun outside of the work as well as inside of the work, because we'll get together, we'll go and do something fun, and then we'll talk about it in the shop, you know. And I think it's really important to be having those conversations with your colleagues in front of clients, because barbershops are such a family orientated place to be. There's a lot of family energy. And it's nice that clients see us like that with each other, and, you know, vice versa. So, yeah, it's important to get people together and, you know, make an effort outside of work as well as inside work. Get some, you know, get some activities done where you're having a bit of a laugh. People are doing things that they don't usually do, you know, outside their comfort zone.
I think walking 25K around London was out of most of our comfort zone, but thanks for arranging that.
You're welcome.
So you started to talk about clients a bit there. And obviously we opened up, or you opened up really, on April the 12th. I think we managed to do 2 days work before the Christmas close down. But April the 12th, we kind of opened with no clients. And within, you know, within a month, 6 weeks, you were almost fully booked. Now, obviously there were a lot of people working from home, and that worked for you. But how do you feel? You've said about the kind of family of clients, but that store built up a really punchy clientele very quickly. I'm making it sound like it was easy. I'm sure it, you know, I don't remember it being easy. I think there were ups and downs. But doing it in the aftermath and the duration of COVID and then coming out, how did that come for you?
I mean, when we opened after the long shutdown, the longest one at the end, you know, when we came back to work, people had such a big appreciation for barbers, which I think really changed the way people see barbers and hairdressers and people in trades, you know, when they really need them. You know, there were so many people that had afros and, you know, couldn't deal with their hair and, you know, were desperate. So
an awful lot of my wife's been cutting my hair. Please come have a nice haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I got attacked with the dog clippers, or, you know, attacked with the kitchen scissors. Yeah. And I mean, I saw some sights. There were some sights, I'm not going to lie.
But do you think that helped you get that client loyalty? They came with really bad hair and you resurrected
it. Definitely, because as I say, there's a new appreciation for barbers. And, you know, where our shops are located, very residential, there's lots of families, lots of locals. And being a local barbershop is, I think, amazing, because you do become part of their life as much as they come part of yours as well. You know, I've been cutting clients' hair, I'm now cutting their son's hair and their son's son's hair. And, you know, your clients walk in and you know stuff about them, they know stuff about you. It's very personal in that sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, when we came back, it was just back to back, because so many people were so desperate for haircuts. With the newfound appreciation, it just flowed really well and it made the atmosphere really comfortable. You know, we've got a lovely shop, it's very different, it's very airy. We've got the glass roof, the plants, it's a beautiful space. So people felt very comfortable coming back after such a, you know, a stressful time to come in and be in a nice space, be with us, have their hair cut finally, you know. So it was all really, really good energy flowing around. And I think it just continued from that, you know, people just wanted to come back. And
it does seem to have, you know, in both the stores, which are quite different, they have that real kind of loyalty. And I think it's been nurtured, or I hope it's been nurtured. Certainly with the first one, there were a variety of managers that went in there that, you know, just wanted to open up, just do the job, just lock it up at night. And it, you know, it ticks away quite happily. You know, you definitely brought a kind of passion through and a vision with it that's given it a bit of kind of brand identity. And I think me and you have worked quite well together to get there. You know, we even the branding of the name was something we sat and badgered around. And, you know, you were very involved with the look and working with the designers. And, you know, so you were really, you've really embraced more than a management. You know, you were very much the boss. You know, I mean, half the time my boss, I feel like. But you've got that, the brand identity isn't necessarily the look of the shop. It's maybe because the clients really feel part of it. It's it's really weird how it feels like a kind of a club they want to be part of.
Absolutely. And I think the key thing for that is your how you portray yourself to the clients. When people walk through our door, we're so friendly, we're so open, we're so well, and we're not, you know, they don't walk in and it's all like, bow, you know, can I take your coat, sir? There's none of this sort of way. We just, people walk in, it's like, hey, mate, how you going? You know, like, it's very casual. It's very, very chilled, very relaxed. You know, it's like, I would say it's the same feeling as when you walk into a pub. You know, when you walk into a pub, it's like you're local, you know the bartender, you know who you're going to see. It's the same when you walk into a barbershop. And I think that's what people really, really love about a barbershop. You know, they sit down, they chill out, they tell us about their life, their day, et cetera, what's going on. You know, and there's people always say, you know, we're not just barbers and hairdressers, we're therapists as well, you know, which is, there is a big element of that. You know, people really do open up and kind of want our help and advice and opinions on things, you know, and that makes it even more special. But
that's definitely not something you're going to pick up at college. You've got to get your therapy badges from standing behind the chair and listening to other barbers go through it while you're sweeping up hair and putting it together.
Yeah, it's a very personable job to have. You know, people come and see you. You know. People, and that's another key thing about having a successful barbershop is the consistency of when they come in, they know who's going to be cutting their hair, they know who's going to be around, and I think that's why our clients are so loyal to us, because we're always there, we're always available. You know, barbers that have worked for us for a long time, you know, everybody knows everybody, and it's that consistency. And they know they're going to walk in and they're going to see the same faces, and they're not worried. You know, I've found personally that some clients are like, oh, I don't want to go to this shop because I'm worried I'm not going to get the same barber, and it's always different, and I always have a different experience, you know. And some people are okay with that. Most people are okay with that. But then there's a lot of, you know, people that want consistency. They want the same barber, the same result. If they do want to change it up, they already feel confident in you because you've been cutting the hair for a long time. So I think the key is that relaxed welcomeness that people experience when they walk through the door. You know, you've got to make them feel good.
Yeah, and obviously send them out with a good haircut.
Absolutely.
Now, we're talking about all the good stuff, which is really nice and it's lovely, and thank you very much. But, you know, I know the bits that went wrong. You know, we embarked on adding more services. And so, you know, we have that space at the back, which is now very much a kind of chill zone to just sit and have a beer and a sip while you're waiting. But we had this master plan. I'm saying we, it was mine, I know. But I had this master plan of, oh, we'll do kind of pedicures and manicures at the back there. And we spoke about it and batted it around and kind of went, okay, let's do it. And we did a 6-week trial. How was that?
fail.
I think just talking about the good stuff isn't the real bit of owning a barbershop.
You know, when you've got space and you've got ideas, you have to give them a go, right? And sometimes they're not thought out as well as you think they are, and sometimes they just don't work. And you know, yes, we did try and do the manis and pedis, and it just didn't work. No. It just wasn't a thing.
I don't think we had the customers that wanted to.
No, you know, you got to engage with the demographic. Who's going to want manicures and pedicures? The type of environment, the space.
Yeah.
And it just didn't.
It really sucked.
No.
We really believed that was going to be. We thought we'd hit on this grant. And I think that, you know, again, yeah, you know, there was a point that we went, look, we said we'd give it a 6-week trial. Yeah. We did. And we really pushed it. You know, the lady that came in to do them was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great.
We all loved her. She was a great energy, and she fitted.
We had all the parts to it.
Just didn't have the
clients that wanted it. Exactly. They were like, you say manicures and pedicures. Some people, and they're like, sorry, what? I'm not having anybody touch my feet. And that was the kind of, you know, the reaction that we got. So that did not work at all.
No, but only
I think we actually had two clients that had it done.
two clients in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but do you know what? They still ring us on. Are you still doing those manual painting? And we're like, no, sorry, not anymore. No. You know, it just didn't work out. No.
So sometimes it is. You've got your client.
You've got to try these things.
You're selling what you're selling well to the client.
Sometimes it's good to just stick with what you're doing and just do it really well, you know, and you've got to try these things to see if they work. And sometimes they don't, you know, and you just got to
walk away from the investment and know that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we did give it a go. And then, you know, we've added other things. So we had a big drive about Shave, and I think Shave was something that was, and I don't know if it was a massive financial success. I don't think it's the hugest part of our business. Mm-hmm. But I was always quite surprised. But I've got guys that'll come round to me or catch up with me in the street, or I'll be, you know, minding my own business, and I'll let these guys come over and go, thank you. You know, guys with bad skin, with ingrowing hairs that really stuck with you guys, shaving them week in, week out to bring their skin back to health. And that was quite a revelation, I think, that you know, all you guys went through the Shave Doctor training with Mark and really embraced it. And again, we don't have guys that come in for a shave twice a week. You know, that whole thing's passed. But the guys that had, you know, that had those ingrown, bad, difficult skin really benefited from it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, the thing is with skin, it's all about knowledge, right? And it's all about knowing what your skin's doing, why it's doing it, what's causing it, how can I treat it, how can I make it better, and how can I make it stop if you can. So, you know, as barbers, we don't just work with hair. Obviously, we work with skin as well, and shaving is a massive factor of that. And it's great. Again, you know, when you give someone a shave and everything's gone well and you haven't, you know, cut them up
still
or
love
slit
it when
their
I can't.
Throat or,
I love
you know,
it when I'm in. They're all under the towers, this kind of tranquility
calm,
and calm.
And it's nice. They are great to have. I mean, I would say we do more, so many guys have got facial hair now, right? So we don't actually do as many shaves as I think we'd like. Everybody's got
beards. A lot of beards. A lot of beard loyalty in that place.
Love it. It's great. I love a beard. Yeah. Pro beards. When someone comes into the shave, we're almost like fighting over, like, I want to do it. Oh, no, you did the last one, so I'm doing this one. Because shaving is so much fun.
Yeah.
It is when you really do a really, really good shave on someone and you've almost made them fall asleep. Like, that's the goal, really. Yeah. Every time you do a shave, you want to get that kind of snoring by the end.
Trusting you enough that you've got a cutthroat on their face and they nod off.
Exactly. That's like life made if that happens. And it does happen. But again, back to the skin, you know, when people have been struggling with their skin, it's all about confidence. You know, they want to be feeling confident. And when you've educated someone and you've helped them progress within their skin and they're feeling confident, it's just the best thing. And that's what brings people back. No,
it's been amazing that, like I said, you know, I've genuinely had guys that will turn up, catch me and go, yeah, hey, you know, Grace's been doing great stuff with my brain. You know, Pam is a great shaver and I'm getting this lovely feedback from them, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, for, like you spoke earlier, men's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very big part of that.
Absolutely.
Big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Shave wasn't particularly a fail, but financially and kind of commercially, it's not been a huge bit of our business. But we have got all the barbers really kind of blade confident,
don't
we?
Yeah, you know, and that's down to like continuous training. You know, sometimes there will be, you know, a period of time where we don't do many shaves and you get out the rhythm of it, you get out of the flow, so you have to kind of not retrain, but just go over what you've learned just to build that confidence back up. You know, and just keep being good at what you're doing because, you know, you don't want to mess it up.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And then I guess the most recent thing that's been a new thing for you or the new experience we've both been through is our store got busted into. We got burgled.
Yeah, that was shit.
And it really was shit.
Yeah.
And it was, I think we both, actually, I think if I'm honest, all the staff seem to have the same as if it was their own apartment broken into. It was really damaging.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt. Yeah. I mean, I was on my way to work and Pam phoned me and she's like, babe, the shop's been broken into. And hearing those words, it was like, I was in shock. It was like, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm on my way. Getting there, seeing the door smashed in, you know, your stuff's everywhere. It's a horrible feeling. You know, someone's been touching your things, taken stuff, stolen. The way they treated the shop was the worst, you know, and we all really felt, you know, really sad from that situation. And yeah, it's awful, you know, nobody, I don't want anybody to ever go through that. You know, it costs a business, you know, you've got to go through all the rigmarole with insurance and sorting this out, sorting that out. And
well, you know, 6 months on, we're still fighting the insurance company. I mean, this is something that I think all of us need to have a chat about. And maybe we'll cover this later on. We'll find someone that we can properly drill down to. Mm. But, you know, our insurance was, we've been offered 50% of what was stolen. So you get robbed twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first time it's happened to me. And, you know, and I've been, you know, I've run stores and owned stores for over 30 years. And this was our first break-in.
Mm.
And it was a horrible situation. Yeah. So I think, and the insurance part, the insurance part of it was, for me, was and is amongst one of the worst, I think.
Yeah. No, it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice for anybody, you know.
But the team really, it did show just how much, not just team, but clients.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, while I was standing there, we had two or three clients coming past going, oh, here, I've got a glazier.
Yeah.
You need your glass
everybody
done.
Chipped
it was
in.
Just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how that went.
And that's another, you know, plus about being in this industry is when you're in need and when you've built the relationships that you've built with your clients, people will absolutely 100% jump in and help. You know, we all need to be helping each other when we need it. And that's, yeah, people do jump in and it's great. We all came together and still got clients now. You know, how are you guys after the break-in? You know, how are you guys doing? How are you guys feeling? Have you had any more suspicious activity? You know, obviously a lot of people want just the gossip all the gossip comes from the barbershops. So yeah, people just being nice, but most of the time people generally do care and want to know, you know.
Well, I think that was
doing.
The first time I've seen, you know, I've always loved being part of a community, being a shopkeeper. I love it. It's just the best. I feel utterly kind of integrated into the area. But that was the first time, even after COVID, which was lovely, the break-in really made me so surprised how upset people were.
Yeah.
And, you know, our customers were feeling kind of violated the same way as we did.
Absolutely.
So, no, I think that was quite amazing, a real testament to you. I think that was very strong. So I think we've kind of covered a big run of it. I wanted to just talk broadly about us rather than me just talking about a bio. And I think, you know, it's been a really interesting way of going through it. So I really appreciate dragging you away from the chair and having a chat.
You have to apologise to the clients, not me.
Okay, I will do. Thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
No, and, thanks for having me. It's been great.
See you next time.
Awesome.
Thank you for watching this episode of The Noble Barber. If you liked it, please do like and subscribe. If you've got comments of what we should be doing in future, please give us your questions and we'll try and find an expert to talk to. Or if you're the expert and you want to come on here and help, stay in touch. We'll get you on. Come and join us on the sofa.